Welcome to Pillar and Ground Podcast. I'm Will Nettleton, pastor of Mission and Worship here at LMPC, and this is a Pillar and Ground confession episode. And in our confession episodes, we seek to understand and apply the truths in our Westminster Confession of Faith. And I'm joined again by our lead pastor, Brian Salter, as we look at paragraph 2 of chapter 11 of Justification. So last time we talked a fair amount just about the introductory concepts of justification, what it is, what it isn't. Brian, if you just could give us a preview, what are we looking at today in paragraph 2?
They're going to go into what they ended with in 1. At the end of 11.1, they talk about to those who receive and rest on him and his righteousness by faith. Men do not have this faith of themselves. It is the gift of God. Mm. And then I imagine sort of in the room of the assembly, the conversation went, let's keep talking about faith. Mm. Let's add more clarity to that. Mm. We said it at the end of 11.1. Let's say some more about that. And that's what we're going to be talking about is faith as they add to that.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in. Do you want to read it for us?
Yes. And then we can... It says, then faith, and they reaffirm what they said in 11.1, receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness is the only instrument of justification. Yet it is not the only grace in the person justified, but is always accompanied by all other saving graces. Justifying faith is not dead, but works by love.
Awesome. So they jump back in talking about faith, as you mentioned. As always, I mean, the Westminster Divines were pulling, we've talked about this before, were pulling from Scripture. Obviously, the whole document's a summary of what Scripture teaches. But they actually, after they had concluded their work, they were asked by Parliament to come back with Scripture proofs. And mm-hmm. so there's just so many different texts that they cite, and particularly in these chapters on justification.
Yes, lots.
There is just a ton here.
Yeah.
So if you had to just kind of point to a few different places where we can point people to in the Scriptures where the Scriptures teach us that faith is a gift, that we're justified by faith as a gift from God, where would you go? And then just could you talk a little bit about how does that humble us?
Yeah.
What does that teach us about God?
Well, many of us may know, you know, Ephesians 2 is so clear, 2:8-9. It is a gift from God so that no one can boast, being this gift of faith. And Romans 5:1 talks about, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The by faith language is throughout all of the New Testament epistles. And really, it humbles us because I like what Chad Van Dixhorn said. Faith is giving up on ourselves and trusting God in Jesus Christ. I like that. Faith throws the towel in on self. It says, no, not trusting self anymore. It's decidedly not a virtue. It's not a work we do. As the end of 11:1 says, it's the gift of God. Faith is not doing something ourselves as much as it is depending on what Christ has done. Mm. It's receiving and then resting. So if you think about a gift, somebody gives you a gift, your response to that gift is to receive it.
Right.
And then it goes on to add rest upon it, which is an issue of trust. It is, when we live by faith, when the justifying faith, the gift that God gives us is His Spirit gives us the gift of faith that leads us, again, notice, He gives it, and thus He leads us to abandon any attempt to please God with our own righteousness and to trust that is only through Christ and His righteousness. I love, as you think about faith as a gift, what B.B. Warfield said. It's a little long, but it's good. There is nothing in us or done by us at any stage of our earthly development because of which we are acceptable to God. We must always be accepted for Christ's sake, or we cannot be accepted at all. That is not true of us only when we believe. It is just as true after we've believed. It will continue to be true as long as we live. Our need of Christ does not cease with our believing, nor does the nature of our relationship to Him or to God through Him ever alter, no matter what our attainments in Christian graces or our achievements in behavior may be. It is always on His blood and righteousness alone that we rest, never in our works. So faith is giving up on ourselves. and trusting and resting in God alone and his work in Jesus.
You mentioned this in the last episode, but talking about the distinction of the Reformation distinctions of the solas, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So when we talk about justification by faith alone, one of the critiques we often get is, so, well, then there's no, you know, there's never any reason to even try and be obedient because you don't have to because you're justified by faith. So don't worry about any, you know, trying to please God, any of that. You can't do it anyway. Just have faith, believe in Jesus, and you're all good. Blank check to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
How would you respond to somebody who looks and just says faith alone?
Yeah. Well, Paul definitely anticipated those same arguments in Romans after he lays out what we mentioned. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he does the work with Adam and Christ, showing that for by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. And then he asks the question in chapter 6, verse 1, that you similarly asked, what shall we say then? Mm-hmm. Are we to continue to in sin that grace may abound? Mm-hmm. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Mm. So not only did the reformers face the question, Paul faced the question and answered it in Scripture. In Romans 5 and 6 really addresses those things. But the bottom line is faith is always accompanied by all other saving graces. Mm-hmm. Justification by faith alone does not mean that faith is alone. Mm. Faith is always accompanied by the other saving graces. The difference in our understanding is we don't believe the accompaniment of those other saving graces changes our justification.
Right.
The accompaniment of those other saving graces is rooted in that golden chain of which justification is a part.
Right.
And other graces, when we say that, they say that in the confession is always accompanied by all other saving graces. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's patience and love and hope. But then you may be asking already, but what about James? Didn't he say we're justified by works?
Yeah, it has something that he says about Abraham being justified. He goes up on the mountain with Isaac. Wasn't he justified by his works?
That's a tricky place, right? Tricky. I do think it is tricky, and it was tricky enough to cause some disturbance over the book of James. But if you understand how words are used, in the context in which James is using that word, justify, he's using it as the word demonstrate, vindicate, manifest. And Paul and James use that word differently.
Right.
So like a great example is Matthew 11:19, where Jesus says, wisdom is justified by her deeds. How is he using that word? He's saying wisdom is vindicated. It's, you know something's wise when you see the works that follow. It is vindicated. It's manifested. And so when James says that a man is justified by his works and not by faith alone, he's saying that man's claim to faith is justified by his accompaniment of saving graces.
Right.
But when I just use the word justified, I'm using it in a different way than the legal declaration word of Paul in Romans 5 and 6. So the only living faith justifies you is really what James is saying.
Correct.
And living faith is always vindicated or justified by the presence of fruits of obedience. Now, that then leads people to say, like, how much fruit?
That's right.
And we'll let Will answer that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I think it is. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, because James there is echoing what Paul gets to in Romans 6 of, shall we go on sinning that grace may abound? Paul says, by no means. You were dead. You're alive now. You can't go on living as if you were dead. So there's always this, there has to be fruit, but we can't mix up the fruit and the roots. When we talk about what's going on with faith, faith is this root out of which flows the good works. There's a necessary connection there. It has to happen. But we confuse those two things when we say, these are the instrument or the grounds of your justification. The grounds, as we talked about last time, are Christ, his righteousness. We receive that by faith alone. as we receive that, as we're united to him, and the confession is going to get into this in the coming chapters, the good works flow because we are united to Christ. Yeah. His Holy Spirit is working in us.
Yeah.
It is a necessary outflow of it, but it is not the precursor. And that's the big distinction that's going on.
That is true. I mean, James is probably responding to people who are saying that, you know, the doctrine of Paul, the doctrine of this justification by faith alone leads to laziness, means that you don't have to do anything. And that's not true. True faith is never alone. Faith sets the heart to work. That is throughout Paul in his letters. Paul agrees that belief must find its expression in works and in fruit. He says things like in Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." You hear that? Faith working through love. Faith works. And then in verse 15 of chapter 6, "For neither circumcision counts for anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation," a new formation there of a new whole life. Faith works. We are not saved because of our works. We're saved by faith alone. But saving faith works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean pragmatically.
Yeah.
I mean, it works out the fruit.
Right.
Again, he says a similar thing, 1 Corinthians 7:19. He says this three times. "For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision." It's not by works, but keeping the commandments of God. In 1 Corinthians 7:19, that is important. He shows that's an emphasis to keep the commandments of God. And a living faith works. I love the phrase, the description, that resting on empty or dead faith is as equally lethal as Paul would talk about trusting your own works for salvation. Equally lethal that we believe in a living, vibrant faith that has the accompaniment of all saving graces.
It's helpful to point out, you know, that this is the caricature we often get of justification by faith alone is, well, there's no reason to do anything.
Yeah.
And the divines are so intent on saying justifying faith is not dead, but works by love. I think that's just a beautiful language of you are alive. And if you love Jesus, you will follow him. If you love me, you'll do what I command. Mm-hmm. Jesus's words to us. We can't be followers of Jesus and not be doing what he commanded. But that this work happens first.
Yes.
All this is going on before.
And that's where the Westminster Confession clearly distinguishes justification and sanctification.
Yes.
And to be clear, that was the heart of the Reformation because Rome had made them the same thing.
Right.
And the Bible clearly separates those two categories. Sanctification is really important,
mm-hmm.
but it is very different
in
its nature than justification. And they're going to talk about that in chapter 13.
Good. Well, that's a good place for us to pause for today in this discussion on justification. So thank you for joining us for this episode of Pillar and Ground. We hope you will join us for future episodes.